You're ready.
Huh?
Every week.
Yeah, but this way you'll get to share.
Because we don't want to make so much work for you.
Yeah.
You might start.
One way you share by bringing it, the other way you get to share.
Try to find the right spot. This is better.
No, move back.
Huh?
This way.
Put the.
If you stand in the Mimo, then if you stand in the Mimo, it grays out.
You want this sign in the video? You want this sign in the video?
Don't explain it.
No, I just want it blocked out.
I think we should put it, we should be it.
Yeah, it's kind of nice to have it signed on.
Okay.
So many people will donate. Come.
Okay. Better?
Yep.
And it's good, it breaks in the paint next to it so people know when you.
Yeah.
What did you do?
Okay, on there?
Here, by the way.
Okay, here we go.
Gaza. We're rebuilding.
Okay, good morning. I'd like to thank everyone for coming, bringing themselves and their sense of humor. It's always exciting to be together. So to explain how this shiur came about, we entitled it the Beis HaLevi's Chiddush and Chilul Shabbos. It came about in a very interesting way. Svarim on Chumash, in general, a lot of times are different forms of drush, different forms of rabbanim, even gedolim, expressing themselves using the Torah as a backdrop. Okay? Besides the drushos, you have Mefarshei Chumash al Derech HaPshat. The Beis HaLevi is a famous sefer on Chumash. Beis HaLevi, written by the, I guess you'd call the father of the Soloveitchik dynasty, of Yosef Ber Soloveitchik, father of Reb Chaim, grandfather of Reb Velvel, known as the Brisker Rav, and his sefer on Chumash is very popular. Well, in this past week's parsha, Parsha Shemos, he has a piece which is brought lahalacha by today's poskim. And that itself is something very unique. You don't necessarily see poskim quote, no, the Beis HaLevi had chuvos, shalos chuvos. That you find quoted lahalacha. But to find the sefer Beis HaLevi al Chumash, okay, there's a little bit in Chanukah that maybe you could find halacha l'maisa, but just a regular pshat in the pasuk in the Chumash is quite strange to find that halacha l'maisa. That's point number one of the introduction. Point number two, the topic we're going to discuss, I believe, is a very interesting topic. And as we have people here in the audience from the medical field, I would happen to be staying by a doctor's home for Shabbos, had a long, nice discussion with him about this topic. What would you say in this situation? I'm going to come back to this soon. But what would you say in a situation where there's pikuach nefesh involved? And we know anything involving pikuach nefesh, anything involving a person's life on Shabbos, we take very seriously. Pikuach nefesh docha Shabbos. Anything involving life, matters of life and death, the Torah writes, v'chai behem, we have to live with the Torah, not die by the Torah, or we're not supposed to. And therefore, we do whatever we can to save a person's life on Shabbos. We call Hatzalah, 911, whatever would be the easiest way to help people, that's what we do. That being said, let's say you have a scenario where I have two doctors that are equatable. I could reach both of them at the same time. There's no time difference. And also in terms of expertise, they're both on the same level. They're both high-ranking professionals. I have a choice between the two of them. The only difference between these two doctors that one might use on Shabbos is one is a religious Jew, and the other one is a not-yet-practicing Jew. I choose my terms exactly, not-yet-practicing. Is there a difference in terms of who I should pick? Should you pick the non-yet-practicing Jew or the religious Jew? That's the question that we're going to deal with today. But being the fact that this discussion, the source for this, derived from something in this past week's Parsha, I'm going to start from the top, how the Beis Halevi develops this idea and how the poskim bring this out. I have to give credit before I begin for my friend's wonderful new sefer on Chumash, discussing the Shiloh, that's where I got it from. But it's definitely, it's a very interesting topic. I also had the chance to discuss it with a major posik. He wasn't even aware of the whole issue because, you know, he didn't necessarily find the Beis Halevi al Torah at this point. Yes.
Does it matter at all, and you'll probably get to this, but does it matter at all if the doctor knows that you are Shomer Shabbos?
Interesting. Yes, we will talk about this. So, the pasuk in this past week's parsha, you know, Moshe Rabbeinu was chosen to take the Jewish people out of Mitzrayim, and the pasuk talks about Moshe Rabbeinu going down to Mitzrayim, seeing all the suffering of his brothers since he left and went to Midian. And the pasuk says, "Vayara Elokim es b'nei Yisrael." Hashem saw the Jewish people. "Vayida Elokim." Hashem knew. Hashem knew what was going on. Beis Halevi's struggling exactly. Why is the pasuk Hashem saw, Hashem knows, as if they're two separate things? What's the pasuk come to add? So the Beis Halevi wants to darshan that this pasuk is based on a medrash. I want to explain the pasuk based on a medrash. A Yal Kishmoni in the Shalach, that the angels of the Mitzrayim, again, this is not our normal way we start a halachah share, but I just want to show you how this whole thought developed. Where the Malachim of Mitzrayim were attacking the Jewish people. Maybe we can relate to this in our own modern terms, is the enemies of the Jews were attacking them and saying it's all the Jews' fault. What's the difference between the Jews and everyone else? The Jews also worship idols. To which the Medrash says, Hashem defends the Jewish people. He says, what do you mean? The Jews might have worshipped idols, but that was under duress because of they were working for the Mitzrayim, when there's a Shibud, there are hostages. So that's what led to them. Right? I must digress just for a moment. I saw an amazing Baal Turim. Baal Turim says, in the first pasuk, it says, Ve'ela Shemos B'nei Yisrael Habayim. Shemos B'nei Yisrael Habayim, the Rashi Telos for those four words is the word Shavia, which is the word that for captive. Hostage. Sefer Shemos, the Baal term says, is a sefer about hostages, captives. I might have seen this Baal term before, but it took on new light when I saw it this week. This is a sefer about hostages. I don't usually think about the Jewish people in Mitzrayim as a hostage. Yeah, we were working in this, you know, you sometimes use the Nazi comparison, the concentration camps, the labor camps. But they were hostages. They couldn't leave. They were subjected, they were tortured, psychologically and physically. And that gives us a perspective, you know, as Hashem, we should be zochah to the Geula. Just like the Jewish people in Mitzrayim, they were redeemed from their hostage situation. So do we should. But in this debate that Hashem was having with the angels of the Mitzrayim, say, come on! What's the difference between us and them? There's no good and evil here. Jews are also evil, worshiping Avodah Zarah. So Hashem responded back, but I know what the cause of it is. but ye don't want him. That's how the Beis HaLevi explains that Hashem saw, but Hashem knew. Hashem saw the Jewish people were also worshiping Avodah Zarah. But Vayidel Kim, Hashem knew there was a reason behind it. Hashem could understand that there's a duress over here. There's an ones. They have a good excuse. And within that topic, the Beis HaLevi has the following discussion. Let's say, normally we know in the Torah, there's an exemption if you're under duress, an ones. Onis Rachman Apatre. If you have an excuse, then you're off the hook. Beis HaLevi discusses a very interesting scenario. Let's say a case where technically I have an excuse, but that wasn't the reason why I didn't do something. Right? I'll start with the case I gave my son when I was talking to him about it. No, the bell rings, it's time to go back to class, but you decided you wanted to shoot. Keep on shooting the basketball. So if you stop right here, you'd be 5 minutes late to class because you decide to play more basketball. On the way back to class, there was a whole commotion in the hallway. Someone spilled something, and they weren't letting anyone pass. So where do you go? We go tell the teacher, oh, I'm sorry, I'm late for class. They shut down the hallway. I couldn't get here. I asked my 12-year-old son, is that a good excuse? He said, of course it is. So I said back, the Beis HaLevi disagrees. He says, if your excuse, you would have gone anyway, then granted you were in a situation at one point where it was under duress, but you have done it anyway. You've come late anyway. And therefore, you don't have a valid claim of an excuse. The Beis HaLevi brings a proof to this idea of another very interesting halacha. Halacha is, unfortunately, if a couple, I'm not going to the halacha l'maisa of this because it could change now because of modern medical treatments. But let's say you have a couple who unfortunately after 10 years of marriage doesn't have a child. So from Gemara brings down, it brings sources from Avraham Avinu that that's valid grounds for divorce. The couple should split because it seems this union is not working well to produce a child. Let them get divorced, marry different people, maybe something will happen. Again, nowadays with modern medicine, we can more pinpoint possibly the causes, treatments, and that's a game changer. And there are major Jewish organizations that, you know, literally raise millions of dollars to help in fertility. I think, you know, the cutting edge of fertility, you'll find Hasidim, you know, Jews are like on the top of this whole medical field. They're super advanced in this.
But Avraham Avinu didn't leave Sarah.
Oh, excellent point. They talk about this. Yeah. Avraham Avinu didn't leave Sarah after 10 years. And the Gemara talks about this. Actually, Gemara Nevamos talks about the fact, well, if they're living outside of Israel, that doesn't count. Because maybe the sin of not living in Israel is a contributing factor why they didn't have a child. And that's why the Pasuk says by Avraham Avinu, only after 10 years since they moved to Eretz Yisrael, and they still didn't have a child, that's when they looked to do intervention, and they brought in Hagar. But till that point, they were married for years, for decades. But since it was outside of Israel, so that itself could be attributed as a reason why they didn't have a child. Now, that's quite a Zionistic statement. Gemara says, the schus, or the lack thereof, person not living in Eretz Yisrael, could contribute whether they have children. This is beyond the concept of Mishana Malka Mishana Mazel.
You still have the challenge, you get it too.
Yeah, by them. Right.
No, I'd say today, people living in Israel.
Sure, yes. Now, what they discuss is, nowadays, to live in Israel is not necessarily the same mitzvah in the time of Avraham Avinu. All different things. It's a shita of Chaim HaKohen brought in Tosas and Ksuvos. So therefore, seemingly, this whole discussion doesn't apply, like you just brought up. Nowadays, the practical factor, or let's start off the other way, a family that's not living in Israel, for them to okay, look, you know, we could contribute, we could define the fact that this family hasn't had a child is because they're living outside of Israel. No, that can't be the contributing factor, because we don't say it's the same mitzvah today to live in Israel as if in the olden times of the Beis HaMikdash. Except this plays into our discussion. Let's say the reason why you're not living in Israel today has nothing to do with the challenges and there's no mitzvah per se on the same level. You're not living here because you feel very comfortable here in America. Could you still claim that exemption while you're not living in Israel, and therefore that'll play a factor in deciding who's at fault for not having a child? So the Sefer Hafla, which is an Achron in Ksubis, that's where this discussion comes out, the Hafla paskins that that's not considered a claim of onus. If you weren't going anyway, I'll say, oh, nowadays I'm an onus, we don't have that mitzvah, we don't have the same protection going to Eretz Yisrael. Not true, you wouldn't go on it anyway. So that's not a valid excuse. That's what Sefer Hafla brings. And the Beis HaLevi uses this as a proof to his thesis, to his chiddush. Beis HaLevi says, look, if a person has no excuse if he wouldn't have done this anyway. Just because he was held back for a different reason, which is a valid ones, but if he would have done it anyway, it's still a problem. That's what the Beis HaLevi proves from the Hafla. So now I'd like to have this discussion. Let's bring this back. I have two doctors I could go to on Shabbos. It's a Shalot Pekuach Nefesh, perhaps even a Shalot Safik Pekuach Nefesh. Two doctors you could go to on Shabbos. One is a practicing Jew, and one is not yet practicing religious Jew. Which one do I go to? They both have perfect... All things equal, both would treat you at the same time. Both would treat you on the most professional standard. Conventional wisdom, I pose this to my host over Shabbos. And he said, yeah, I would think to go to the non-religious one. Because anyway, he's in the, you know, he would be in the hospital, he's working.
You give him a chance to do it.
So I would have thought, before I saw any discussion on this topic, yeah, I could hear the argument, you should go to the non-frum doctor. Why drag the frum guy out of shul? I'll go on his upsala call. I'll go on his... No, if I could get this person who's doing it anyway, Alan brought up a good point. Now I'll give him a mitzvah. I would think conventional wisdom to choose the non-yet religious doctor. Yes?
I think he'd be stronger if he was not working that day. He was on the golf course or going shopping, and then you got him to come, because even though he's not keeping Shabbos, he's coming for the emergency to help you. As opposed to if he's already working that day, well, then he's working on Shabbos. So all you're doing is adding to his work on Shabbos.
Okay, good.
Also, the guy's already there working, and then he's the same kind of situation. He's already there.
We talk about they're both not working.
Right. Let's try to make it, you know, even ground.
I'll give you a very good circumstance. My wife had a Shabbaton at Young Israel in Hollywood several years back, and a child got hurt at shul when in the afternoon. So now you have a whole bunch of people who are around there. There were doctors there. There's doctors nearby. Who do you call now? Because now everybody is on a level playing field. They all.
I know the lawyers are there.
Of course. Well, it asked me out to change the lawyers.
I know.
Excellent. So new. I want to hear from everyone. What would they think in these type of scenarios? Now, unfortunately, these come up, and you have the choice on Shabbos to use religious Jew, or you is currently an irreligious Jew? Who would you pick?
The from guy.
Because, why?
Because to him, he recognizes that he's doing a mitzvah. And the...
okay, excellent
the,
point.
Not whatever you want to call it.
They're both going to do a mitzvah.
He's just working, that's all. He is a mitzvah.
The from guy has an idea of what he can and can't do. Whereas the other guy has no limit.
Excellent point.
You know, in reality, if I could just say...
Yes.
I don't think any really from person is going to seek out a non-from Jew to serve as their child or injured person on Shabbos. No one really has that choice. And in my neighborhood in Michigan, we have a doctor who has helped so many children on Shabbos over these kind of incidents that happens.
And they always go to
him. And he stitches them up, and he's a tzaddik beyond description already. And he has no qualms with it. No one's going to search out a non-frum doctor on Shabbos.
Right.
So you have a frum doctor on one side of you and a non-frum on the other side.
Right. We're saying it's a level playing field.
Right. He's right. In his scenario, look, people just go to the neighborhood local doctor, frum doctor, they're going to go to, which they should.
The area, that's who they're going to go to. There's not a doctor in the area.
Right. Let's say you're in a hotel.
All right.
And I right,
but that's yeah.
right. But that's a perfect example. You're right. Most of the time, we do go to who we're most comfortable with. Yeah. We're used to.
That's the guy in the neighborhood.
Yeah.
If your regular doctor's available, you go to them first. It's not
right.
Playing field anymore.
Right. Right. True.
The doctor is a minority.
Mental approach that automatically kicks in this kind of situation that the not yet religious doctor has.
Okay, excellent. So let's start over there. I heard heard all very good comments on this topic. I think it's a great topic to really discuss.
I have to say, I think I did hear a tape by Rabbi Frank once on this topic.
Really?
And he said to choose the...
Okay,
I'm not saying...
Ed, you're ahead of the game. Yeah. This sefer that I'm quoting from are probably from those tapes. They just came out, the sefer, but it's on stuff that he gave, so not bad. So let me explain. There for sure is a consideration, and this was found in the responsa of the Tzitz Eliezer, who was a Haredi Jew who lived in Yesharim, but had fantastic medical knowledge, and possibly on many, many shilohs, abortion shilohs, like, challenging points.
He was makel on abortion, though.
Right.
Yeah.
Yes. Fascinating. From the depth of Meir Sharim.
Yeah.
He comments on this, and he says, look, in general, if you have a scenario where you could choose one of two people, you know, look, you could call Hatzalah, or let's say in your neighborhood, right, for a long time in Florida, right, those newcomers don't realize this, right, but Hatzalah in South Florida is new. My father always told me, my wife grew up here in Florida. The reason was because the response time originally here in Florida was fantastic, and there wasn't a need for Hatzalah. I believe over the years, they felt things changed, and there is more of a need. But let's say you're in that scenario, I could call Hatzalah, or I could call another ambulance company. And, right, and let's say, you know, in Florida, there are a lot of Jewish people here, even, you know, a lot of non-from people. So a good chance you're going to call that 911, you're going to get a Jewish person. It's not religious. So the Tzitz Eliezer makes the argument that a couple people over here made. A Jewish person knows exactly what you're allowed to do to be Mechal Shabbos. He won't do the extras, which you don't absolutely need to do to help the person, on Shabbos. So there's a concept by Chilul Shabbos. We say Chilul Shabbos is dechuya and not hutra. It means it's pushed off, but it's not a blanket heter. So of course we do absolutely everything we need to save a person's life on Shabbos. At the same time, we don't do extras which are not needed. That distinction is something that a religious Jew would know, and non-from Jew would not know. So that itself, if it's an equal playing field, I can choose them both. You know what? I'd rather choose, let's say, the from person. My original point that I was going to use for a difference is, okay, the firm person will write up the case after Shabbos, and the non-firm was going to write up the case on Shabbos after they treated the person. Someone corrected me and says, not true, you need to write up on Shabbos, it's part of regulations, can't wait till afterwards. Okay. But one I'm day, sure, right, there are some things.
One might be using a pen that the ink disappears after a few hours.
Okay, yeah. Actually, I'm sure there are definitely...
Does what happens connect to the patient?
Interesting question.
What do you mean?
The fact that the doctor is going to be with Chol Shabbos, is that going to attach to the patient?
Very good point. Very good point. I'm going to get to that in a moment. Very good point. So that's reason number one. Simple reason, tactical reason, is that a religious Jew would seemingly be less Machal Shabbos than a non-firm Jew. And therefore, you're causing a little bit less Chol Shabbos in the world. But Rabbi Friend argues, based on this Beis HaLevi, that it's much more than that. Normally, we say Pikuach Nefesh Docha Shabbos, and therefore the person involved in doing the Chol Shabbos has a good excuse. I'm a Hatzalah person, I'm a doctor, I'm allowed to do whatever I can on Shabbos to help a person, because Pikuach Nefesh is Docha. Great. That's a good excuse for you as a firm person. But what happens if, anyway, you're not keeping Shabbos? If this firm patient wouldn't come to you, you'd be doing stuff anyway. You'd be Machal Shabbos anyway. Do you have an excuse for what you're doing? No, says the Beis HaLevi. See, the exact opposite. We thought originally, look, give it to the non-firm person. A, he's doing it anyway. And B, you'll give him a mitzvah.
Maybe you don't bring him to Torah either.
Right. Here, the Beis HaLevi is arguing, stay away. Because by you putting him in this situation, he won't have an excuse of Pikuach Nefesh Docha Shabbos. He's not going to have that excuse. Your Jewish doctor, your neighborhood doctor is a better person to go to, your religious doctor, because he would be keeping Shabbos. He'd be eating cholent, taking a nap. But now he's working on Shabbos. Okay, that's Pikuach Nefesh Docha. But someone who is already working, already violating Shabbos, does not have an excuse of Pikuach Nefesh Docha Shabbos. And therefore, you have a choice between the two. You definitely should choose the religious doctor. Yes?
Putting into a more philosophical point of view, a theological point of view, the firm doctor has right there at his fingertips, as it were, the knowledge, the recognition that every single thing he's doing is L'shem Mitzvah. And you know, he knows I'm doing this Avera, the doctor, because it's Docha Shabbos, and therefore it's a mitzvah for me to do it. That's a very different...
Very good point. I'm going to get to that in a moment. But you hear this idea based on this Beis HaLevi. The Beis HaLevi comes with this thesis, this chiddush, that there's no exemption for duress, for ones, when you weren't going to do it anyway. So normally, Pikuach Nefesh Docha Shabbos, I have an excuse. I wasn't Machal Shabbos. I had a Tzolah call. I'm a doctor, I call. But in a situation where the religious Jew is going to be Machal Shabbos anyway, he doesn't get that excuse. So therefore, 100%, my friend says, based on this, based on Levi and others, that you should choose the religious doctor. And then there's one step further, Rabbi Berger, you would like this step. I haven't been using the sheets enough, I noticed myself. But if you look on Gimel, Sefer Shmiras Shabbos Kol Chasa, this is a Sefer written by a Talmud of Shlomo Zalman that heavily quotes Shlomo Zalman, famous Sefer. He brings an added reason, Tam Nosif, L'Hadav L'Kab, Tipo Meirofi Shomer Shabbos, you should get the services of a Shomer Shabbos doctor, Mirofi Machal Shabbos. Ki a Shomer Shabbos Machavin LeMitzvah. Vareza Heter Gamar. When a Shomer Shabbos does it, his idea is, I'm doing a mitzvah right now. That's his mindset. Otherwise, I can't do this on Shabbos. Masha Inkin and Machal Shabbos, Harein Machavin LeMitzvah. Mechal Shabbos isn't doing this because of the mitzvah. Elkavod Aslo B'tzei HaKesef. Seemingly, his mindset is the same that he has the rest of the day. I'm earning money today. I'm working today. V'avshav Paul who mekayim a mitzvah. I, like Alan said, but isn't he doing a mitzvah? You're helping a Jew. This Jew has a halacha, pikuach nefesh tocha Shabbos. So am I not doing a mitzvah right now? Shomaz on writes, "Makom makom mechlal hamischavin lechol baser chazir the all of the yodo baser tleh shetzara kapara." Very interesting halacha. Gemara Kedushin says, "Let's say a person intended to eat non-kosher meat, and you know you end up walking into a restaurant on Harding Avenue. You know what? It's kosher. He ended up being kosher meat. He wasn't intending. He was going to go to Flanagan's, right?" That's the one non-kosher restaurant that's still there in Harding, right?
That's a drink.
He was going to go to Flanagan's, but okay, it was crowded, you know. So he went into, the place there?
McDonald's.
No, the kosher place. Backyard barbecue. He heard it's better even.
It's backyard barbecue.
Right? It's a place in Harding. Yeah. So he goes in there. Yeah. He goes in there. He ends up being kosher food. So, halacha is a tzara kapara. Such a person needs a kapara. Even though he ended up doing a mitzvah, but averos also count sometimes by the mindset that. His mindset was to do an avera. V'im kein, yel chofanov, if I go to the non-religious doctor, yavar belifnei iver, I myself, Harvey, I the patient, or whoever's choosing for the patient, I'm violating an Isser. I'm setting a irreligious Jew up for an Avera. Can't do that. Rabbi Weisskin, what do you say about that?
It didn't make such a good comparison.
Why?
Because who said he's mechaven for Avera? He's just not thinking about it.
Okay. But I assume that default setting, why am I working today? I'm working today because I work every Saturday. I earn money.
Saying you're assuming somebody's a mummer? Like, why? You assume somebody's a Mishnishba. I don't know. You know, somebody's not thinking about it. You think there's no difference between the two things?
So that I'm going to get to in a moment. But, right. If this last argument would only be an argument assuming that the doctor's going with the same mindset he has the rest of the day, and he's treating Jew and non-Jew alike, if his mindset just is, look, this is what I do. I'm a doctor. I work on Saturday. I'm not religious. This is what I do. So then this argument stays. If you would say that, no, maybe there's a switch. This is what I think is really arguing. If there's a switch in the mindset, when I treat non-Jews, okay, you know, look, this is what I do on Shabbos. I work. When I see a religious Jew, I'm like, oh, you know what? For this guy, I'm doing a mitzvah. Then this wouldn't apply. But seemingly, I hear the argument that Shlomo Zalman was putting, the default setting is the same mindset. Yes.
Is there a difference between, let's say, choosing a treif restaurant or a kosher restaurant? It's always aser to eat in the treif restaurant, no matter what day of the week it is. The things that the doctor is doing on Shabbos would be mutter the rest of the week. It's only aser because it's Shabbos.
Interesting.
So the halacha is sort of mehupach.
Interesting.
The docha is a Shabbos concept. So
yeah.
Does that have any bearing?
I'm not sure, because you're right. It's always also to eat in a treif restaurant. But
it's usually mutter to do what the doctor's doing on Shabbos now.
Right, right. The time, as we all know, the Jewish law is central to time. And you're right, timing is everything. You're doing that malacha on Shabbos, that's aser. So if your mindset was to do it the iser, or the kay, you happen to have a good case. Now, I think this whole discussion that we're having is easily understood by a person who knows better. Look, you know, he grew up religious, but currently he's not keeping the faith. So a person like that, yes, this whole scenario plays out. But unfortunately, we started with the concept. I want to bring this back to that. We call it Sefer Shemos is a Sefer of Shavuya, of captives. There's a halacha of a Tinuk Shenishba. Literally, that means a child who is captured. And the halacha states that if a child is captured, you have this a lot during World War II, and I'll talk about it you know, in our times too. But the child was captured and he was raised by, you know, by Christian family. So you can't hold him responsible for what he did because he doesn't know any better. So halakhically speaking, the Chazon Ish had a monumental psak halacha that many of our irreligious Jewish brethren, for sure a lot in America, fit under the category of a tinuk shenishba, literally a child that was captive. And even though these people might be machal Shabbos and might be doing other averos, it's not their fault. They never had the merit, the schus, to learn in yeshiva, to really be exposed to Torah. You know, a few hours once a week of Hebrew school is not the same. I sat in Shabbos, I'll just give you a snippet. I sat by someone's house, it was a Baal Tshuva. One of the most amazing stories I've ever heard of a person becoming a Baal Tshuva. He grew up in a home which had somewhat traditional Jewish values. He knew a little bit, he was able to read Hebrew, but he went to college, went to Dartmouth, New Hampshire. And like he found himself, he was like the most knowledgeable Jewish person there. And like he thought it was quite pathetic because he didn't really know anything. He could read a little bit Hebrew because of his Hebrew school that he went to. And
he made him the rabbi.
Yeah, he just, right? Maybe the audience will remember the exact name of, he started having questions about Judaism, and he grew up in a suburb of Chicago. And literally there were Jews somewhat around him, but he never paid attention to them. He didn't really know that religious Jews still existed in America. This is somebody who's, I would say, in his young 50s. Not so long ago, growing up. He didn't know there really were practicing religious Jews in America. So much so, he watched some movie. His father, he had questions to his father about Judaism. And his father happened to take him out to a movie. The movie was the San Francisco Kid or something?
The Frisco Kid. Not that movie.
He said that movie changed his life.
Right.
Because it was depicting a religious Jew in the Wild West. Now, he said he watched this afterwards, and he's like, there's a lot of sarcasm against religious Jews. But that night, he went to the movies with his father. He was like, he was thinking about Judaism and saw that movie. And like asked, are there really religious people like that? He happened to be on the train, he met a religious person, asked them questions, they had every answer to all his questions. Like a young religious person, he was like, they know everything, they got off the train. It's just the whole chain of events this person had, how he became religious, it's amazing. But there are lots of people like that. That's the Tinuk Shenishba. And really these halachas that we're talking about, or a friend spells out, does not apply to a Tinuk Shenishba. Tinuk Shenishba, he won't be getting an Avera. There won't be a lifnei. No. Okay, maybe we could debate, you know, we still, you have a non-firm person, you can't ask them to drive, you know, to come to your house for Shabbos, to tell them to drive to your house for Shabbos. That gets tricky.
To tell them you're going to
drive. Right. But I think this really, yeah.
That truth creates a whole machlokas when you are Baal Tshuva. When all your friends and family and everybody you know, none of them are holding, none of them are Shomer Shabbos, none of them are kosher, none of them are not. And then your life changes to that. And suddenly you're separated. Right.
Right.
So the whole set of halachas and talmudic.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a whole different thing. How do you maintain your relationships with the ones you care for, you love?
Right.
You can't say come from the Shabbos. Right. You're walk.
That's why.
You know, it's a whole thing.
I think you're 100% correct.
Slowly dissolve.
Right. Your mother says, my food's not good enough for you.
Right. I'll tell you, I have a lot of friends. Perhaps you know one of them.
We know Shomer Shabbos.
Yes.
There's a Rabbi Bax in Michigan.
Oh, yes.
You know Rabbi Bax?
Of course. I'm not a person. He's the head of Yeshiva
Gadol.
Yeah. Oh, no. Nicola. I'm sorry.
Well, no, right. Box. No. I'm not saying
you're
right. No. Yes. Yeah, no, not the Rabbi Bax from the Yeshiva Gadol. Huh?
Yes.
Sorry. All right, Bausk.
Bausk, I don't know.
Okay. He works on campus Kirov in University of Michigan, a few different colleges. And I think he's a perfect example is what you're bringing up, is really in the world of Kirov. You know, you have a lot of scenarios where a person, you never know what will trigger a person to come from. And once the person decides wants to come from, he, like you said, now you have a very big challenge. Your whole life just changed. And all your relationships potentially could be strained by a new religious observance. And the tricky thing is, you need a support network. You need someone to be there for you, to help guide you. And sometimes, look, if I just, I went to some random nice from family for Shabbos. I decided to come from. I don't necessarily have guidance for them. You know, I had an invitation for Shabbos.
Sure.
Sometimes you have scenarios where they could continue that. But really, it's important in Kirov, where Bal does a great job, is you have to literally hold a person's hand when they enter this new world, to be there for them, to help navigate all these scenarios. It's so, so important to be connected to people that could support you. It's very, very important. But I'll just end today's share with this whole concept that we've been talking about. It's a very, very interesting concept, that there's an excuse that a person has normally, Pikuach Nefesh, Kedosh HaShabbos, according to the Chiddush and Hilchos Onis from the Beis HaLevi, my friend brings out, will come out, that a person has a choice, a religious doctor, an irreligious doctor. You should choose the religious doctor. Not just because he knows what to do and not to do, but also for this choice itself to work on Shabbos. The religious doctor is only doing it for the mitzvah, versus the irreligious person is doing it anyway. But this is all if the person is choosing to work on Shabbos with the knowledge he's violating Shabbos. Or if someone's doing something b'shogeg, someone's doing something as a tinek shenishba, that's a whole different playing field. And that's different. I'll just end with the thought. Recently, one of my rabbis, Rabbi David Harris, pointed out that, you know, right now in America, and really all over the world, in Israel, there's a lot of focus, obviously, on the hostages. I was in Miami Beach for Shabbos. You saw this little mural they have painted on the side of the building, "Welcome to Miami Beach." Now they have all the pictures of all the hostages up there.
Really?
Yeah, right over the bridge, you know.
Yeah.
And there's so much, obviously, and rightfully so, empathy and feeling for these hostages in dire straits. But we don't necessarily conjure up the same emotions when it comes to the spiritual Holocaust. All the Jews that are intermarrying, all the Jews that never had an education for Judaism. The Chazon Ish's definition, the reason why halacha, we view them differently, is because they're a tinok shenishba. Little words. A child that was taken hostage. And the more we appreciate the importance of spreading Torah Judaism, of teaching people halachos, people are not antagonistic. They just, I think you portrayed it very well, they're living a different life, and it's hard to change. And even if they make a commitment to change, there's so many levels of challenge. It's not a matter, you're not fighting a foe like Hamas capturing a person. But in some ways it's tougher, empathy. People just, you know, they're just not, they're not engaged. And Be'ezus Hashem, you know, the spreading of Torah, of you know, now's really time. They say it's amazing across Israel, but also in America, people are searching. Jews are being singled out. And once you get past the causes of anti-Semitism and all that, political debates, but the root of it is we're different. And the more we see that we're different, hopefully people will come back to see exactly what's what makes us different, and that's the Torah. Thank you very much, everyone.
Thank you.
Yeah. Yes.